Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Something of you this morning. In the scripture, when that's speaking, it's talking about even so come again, return, But I believe we can also say that and say, even so, Lord, your kingdom come in us. Use us in power before you return. Give us an opportunity to share the gospel with others before you return. I'm burdened this morning. I'm burdened that there are people who do not know Jesus, who need to know him. You've got family member and friends, I do. You've got people you work with. You have people that you're connected to in different ways that have yet to know him. So even so, Lord, come in us. May we be your hands and feet. As we sing Revive Us Again, God, you bring revival to your people so that we can share the gospel with others. I want to take a moment, and I'm not trying to put anybody in a difficult spot because of COVID, so you stay at your seat if you need to. You're fine. You make an altar at your seat. But those that feel comfortable and can, I'm going to invite you to come and meet me here in this altar. We're going to pray for just a moment together for God to move in power among us, for God to bring revival, for God to save men and women. So you make an altar at your seat, but if you're comfortable and can come and kneel and pray, if you want to put your mask on to do so, you come. We're going to take just a moment. Just keep playing. Jenny, just keep playing, if you will. As the choir exits the stage, if you feel led, you come, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to ask God to move in power among us and invite you to join us as we do that. I'll give you just a moment. I'm going to ask as we pray. The truth is, the Lord hears all of our prayers. So I'm going to ask you to pray boldly and pray out loud, every last one of us, that God will move in power, that God will use us, that you'll put your yes on the table that says, God, wherever you lead me today, I'll go. Whoever you lead me to, I'll go. I'll show your love. I'll show your kindness. I'll walk in that next step of obedience. Lord, for our nation's problems, for our world, the stage is set for you to return. Even so, come, Lord. Even so, come. But Father, give us another opportunity to share the gospel. Would you join me in praying? Let's all pray together, and then I'll close us in a moment. Pray out loud with me. Father God, Father, as we bend our hearts and bend our knees at our seats, as others do so here in what we make an altar of this place, as there are some at home on their knees right now, others who maybe are listening as they drive down the road, but they're praying with their eyes open. Father, we take a moment and we say, even so, come. Come in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would be tired of powerless living, but that we could walk in your power and your might. I pray that we would be tired of lifeless praise and worship, but that we would be reminded of your goodness and your grace and your mercy and your salvation. I pray that we would not walk in fear as we see the difficulties in our nation, in our world, but we would walk with an understanding that, Lord, you are setting the stage for your glory to be revealed. So God, do that in us. Father, I pray for our co-workers to come to know you. I pray for husbands of people in this room to come to know you, for wives of people in this room to come to know you. I pray for adult children that have walked away from you to be drawn back to you. Father, that you would do whatever it takes to let them see and know your goodness and your love and your grace, and the fact that you paid the price for their salvation, but you paid the price for their new life, that they could walk in it. Father, I pray for neighbors of people in this room. May they see Jesus in us. Father, I pray for all the new families you're sending our way. Thank you for that, Father. What a blessing. Would you move in power in those families' lives? Use them for your kingdom's sake. Lord, may they feel loved and welcomed and resourced here in this place. Father, for those yet to come, for the men and women who are driving past our building right now, just wondering maybe what's going on in there, or maybe we're not even a thought in their mind. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in their heart. Let them see their need for you. Let them know that this is a place that whosoever will can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. That whosoever will can come here and be welcome. God, change my heart. Make me more like you. do that for every life in this room, Father. Even so, come in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, friends, as you make your way back to your seat. Just play them on out, Jenny, if you will, for a second there. We'll get them to their seats. Then we will let you do that. Thank you for those that made an altar at your seat, those that came, those that prayed, maybe in the family room across the way that we have for families with children that need to be there, those that are listening online. I just want God to have his way among us. So thank you for that. Thank you, Jenny, very much. If you have your Bible, turn to Judges chapter 6. We will continue now in our series, Amateur Hour, The Unlikely People God Chooses and Uses. Last week was part one for Gideon. Today is the final part for Gideon and his story. We looked at his story last week. Gideon's the embodiment of what it means to be an amateur, the unusual person that God would choose, the unlikely person, excuse me, that God would choose and use. Gideon said this of himself. He said he was the least in his family. Anybody ever feel like the least in your family? And not only that, he said, our family, our clan, we are the least in our tribe, the tribe of Manasseh. God, I'm the most unlikely person that you could use, is what Gideon was saying. But God saw something else entirely. Friends, can I tell you, in your life, whatever you see about yourself, there's a chance God sees something else entirely. He chooses you. He calls unlikely people for his kingdom. And so the angel that God sent called Gideon a mighty man of valor. And our two main points last week were these, that God does not define you by what you did or what you are doing, but he sees you for who he is making you to be. You are not just some action from your past. You are who he has created you to be today. Somebody needs to hear that, and I hope it's good news for you. And then second, that even in our weakness, God's power is made perfect in weakness. That word perfect means complete. God says his power is complete in our weakness, that he is enough, that he provides enough, that he does use us for his glory. And so now we'll pick up where we left off last week. The angel has performed a miracle for Gideon, and Gideon realizes the magnitude of what's happening. And now look at Judges 6, beginning in verse 24. It says, then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it still stands at Ophrah, which belonged to the Abiezrites. That night, the Lord said to him, take your father's bull, the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of the stronghold here with stones laid in due order. Now, real quick, for those that maybe you're not familiar with Old Testament terms and things like that, Baal, B-A-A-L, that is a false god, a made-up god by Satan himself. The scripture tells us that behind every false god is a demon. And so we see Baal, this made-up god, false god. Gideon's father and many of the Israelites had an altar to this false god. They were not living correctly. And they also had an Asherah pole. An Asherah pole is what would use by those who worshiped Asherah, and they would dance around this pole and worship in false ways. So an angel comes to Gideon and says, I want you to tear down the altar of Baal and tear down the Asherah pole. Now look what happens next. Verse 26. Then take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah that you shall cut down. So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. Verse 28, when the men of the town rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was broken down and the Asherah beside it was cut down. And the second bull was altered on the altar that had been built. And after they said to one another, who has done this thing? And after they'd searched and inquired, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Listen, let me give you a quick little life reminder before we keep reading in the scripture. Here's a lesson that applies to your life. It's really not what today's about, but it fits right here. Gideon and his 10 servants did this in secret But the next morning, everybody found out. And here's what I want to say to you. Things done in secret are almost always revealed, right? That's a good life lesson for all of us to know. The next time you turn your head to do something, stop and realize you probably shouldn't be doing it. Let me explain what I mean. If you have to do this before you do it, you probably shouldn't do it. Because even though you think no one's looking, someone's going to find out. That's a good life lesson. That's free and extra today. Let's keep going. Verse 30. Then the men of the town said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, for he has broken down the altar of Baal and cut down the Asherah beside him. But Joash, Gideon's father, said to all who stood against him, will you contend for Baal or will you save him? Whoever contends for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, then let him contend for himself because his altar has been broken down. Now, this is interesting. Gideon's worship was not just lip service. He didn't just say, God, I worship you. He didn't just lift his hands and say, God, I worship you. His worship was not a ritual. He worshiped through obedience. And please hear me say this morning. We've had a great time of music. The songs have been great. What the choir shared was great. What we lifted up together, all those things. Here's what I would say to you, though. The best form of worship is not a song. It never has been. The best form of worship is not a raised hand, though I love to raise my hands in worship. The best form of worship is not a knee bent, even though we did that. The best form of worship is not a tear coming down your cheek, though that's a sign sometimes of what God is doing in our hearts. But the reality is, all of those things, they are not the most true form of worship. The truest form of worship is an act of obedience. It's doing what God said to do when God said to do it. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, taking steps of obedience. That's worship. Now, what we do in here is great, but can I let you in on a little secret? There are 200 plus churches in Marshall County of all denominations, probably getting closer to 300. There's 103 Southern Baptist churches alone in this county. You add in all the others, there's a lot of churches. There are a lot of people coming in and out of the doors of a worship facility today, but I guarantee you there are hundreds of people that have walked into a church that will walk out of a church never having worshiped. Now, I'm not saying their music wasn't good. I'm not saying the preaching wasn't fantastic. I'm not saying that nobody prayed. What I'm saying is they can walk into a room and out of a room, walk through every step that's presented before you and still not worship God. Because worship is not lip service. Worship is a life of obedience. And so, friends, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to do what I do. First thing, when I arrive here every Sunday morning, I usually get here around 6:30. I like to get here very early to kind of walk the building and pray, check on things, go over my message notes one more time, all that kind of stuff. And so I'll park in the far part of the parking lot, and as I walk across the entire parking lot headed in, I'm praying and saying, God, I pray that I could bring something to worship to you today. I pray that you would be glorified today and that I wouldn't do this just out of ritual. That's my prayer almost every week. God, I don't want to just come do this because this is what I'm paid to do. God, I want to worship you today. My prayer is that when you enter the doors of this facility, when you drive into the parking lot and you see someone holding a sign greeting you, that's great. But what I'm hoping is that you will enter these doors and enter the parking lot, enter the building saying, God, what do I bring to the table to you today? Because I want to bring some sacrifice of obedience to you. That's worship. That's what he's called us to do. And it doesn't have to happen in the church. What we do is corporate worship. What you do through your steps of obedience, that's your life of worship, and I want to encourage you with that. So Gideon took a step of obedience, and then look what happened. Gideon's obedience to God changed his family tree. You say, how did it do that, Chris? Notice that his father had allowed the false worship of Baal. His father most likely had worshiped Baal himself, allowing that to take place. But as soon as Gideon took a step of obedience and tore down the altar and lit it up on fire, and the others said, we're going to kill Gideon for it. His father said, no, you're not. He said, let that little god contend for himself. So Gideon's step of obedience led to his father's step of obedience. So here's the big idea for today. Your actions influence others. Now, I think you know that, but there might be somebody in here who thinks, well, not me, Chris. Nobody's watching me. Listen, somebody's watching. Your actions influence somebody. You say, oh, Chris, I'm not even around anybody. I'm at home alone all day by myself. There's no way. Listen, your prayer life influences your family tree. Your prayer life influences the next part of that. So our obedience has the power to change our family tree. By the way, did you guys, I've talked about this before, but let me just remind you, every family tree has a few nuts in it, right? Right? Let me ask you, in all sincerity, do you know who the nut is in your family? Raise your hand. Don't point if they're in here. Nobody's raising their hand. Do you? This is crowd participation. It's going to be a long morning. Do you know who the nut is in your family? Some of y'all really do. If you don't, it's you is what I'm saying. So if you didn't raise your hand because you don't know, congratulations, but it's just the truth. All right, so the reality is, though, every family, all joking aside, has someone that needs to take the next step of obedience to Christ. And here's what I would say. Your obedience in your family, my obedience as the leader of my family, it has the power to change my family tree. So does yours. You may come from a long line of, I don't know, you fill in the blank, what you would say, losers, pretenders, maybe religious people, maybe people who have an addiction problem, maybe you come, I don't know what it is, but you come from a family that's had some issues at one point or another, and maybe you say to yourself, it seems unlikely that I would be the one person out of everybody in my family and my extended family. There's no way that I'm the one person that God is choosing to change our family for the good. If that's the case, you're the perfect person. You're the perfect one because you're the unlikely one, and God uses unlikely people. In fact, somebody in your family may just be waiting for your next step of faith for them to muster enough courage of their own to take their next step of faith. Someone in your circle of friends or influence may be waiting to see who's going to be next to take a step of faith to follow Jesus in some certain way, and then they're going to muster the courage to do the same thing and make the right choice. Listen, your actions influence others. You may say, Chris, but I'm afraid. My family's seen me. They know my good, the bad, the ugly. They know my insecurities. They know everything about me. If I take that next step of obedience and they hear or see that, what are they going to think? Listen, I understand our fears. Everybody has some level of fear at some point, including Gideon. Don't overlook that. Look right here at verse 27. It says, so Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. So Gideon, afraid, first of all, he's hiding in a wine press when the angel finds him. And now he decides to be obedient to God, cut down the altar of the false god, but he does it in the middle of the night because he's afraid of what his family would say and what others in the town might say. Can I say this, though, before we give Gideon too hard a time? He did it. Even in his fear, he did what God said. He acted as God told him to. Listen, I want to give him credit for that response. And here's what I would say to you. Your faith is not the absence of fear. It's the determination to move forward despite it. So it's okay if you've got some apprehension and fear. And the scripture says, fear not, do not be afraid, over and over and over and over again. You know why it says that? Because people were afraid. Because followers of Yahweh were afraid. In the New Testament, because followers of Jesus were afraid. It wouldn't tell you fear not if we weren't afraid. So it's natural that every believer at some point is going to have some apprehension and fear. If that's the case, just don't let it stop you from the next step of obedience that God is calling you to. Now, as we carry on the story, the next part of the story is where most pastors focus on in their sermons. It's where Gideon offers a fleece, a wool fleece, and he asks God to speak to him, and God does that twice. And then God tells Gideon, you've got too many men to go to battle against the Midianites. If you defeat them, everyone will think you did it or they did it on their own, so get rid of some of your men. So God takes him from 32,000 men down to 10,000 men, down to 300 men. And when he gets to 300 men, highly unlikely you could win a battle. That's when God says, my power is made perfect in weakness. I'm going to show you what I can do. That's my paraphrased version. Look here at Judges chapter 7, verse 16, what it says here. And he divided the 300 men into three companies and put trumpets in the hands of all of them and empty jars with torches inside the jars. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then blow the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Verse 19, so Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch when they had just set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. Then all three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars. They held in their left hand the torches, in their right hand the trumpets to blow, and they cried out, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Every man stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran. They cried out and fled, and when they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his comrade and against all the army. It's an incredible story, but we often overlook my favorite verse of all of it. It's verse 20. Look again at it. It says, then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars. They held in their left hand the torches, in their right hand the trumpets, and they cried out, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. What was in their left hand? What was it? Crowd participation. Look up on the screen. What was in their left hand? A torch. What was in their right hand? A sword for the Lord, a sword for Gideon, and a sword for the Lord. Where's the sword? It's either on their back, it was on their side, it was on the ground. We don't know. But we know this, they were holding the torch, the light, and they were holding a trumpet, a horn. Now listen, there's no military leader in the world who would suggest waging war with trumpets and torches. But that's exactly what God does. Why? Listen, these are not weapons of utility. They would have been holding that sword. These were weapons of praise. Now this is important. We have to start with the weapons of praise before you pick up the weapons of utility. Listen, we should praise God every day. Amen? We should. Listen, that means in the good, praise God for the day. And in the bad, praise God anyway. Listen, in fact, would you say praise God anyway with me? Here we go. Praise God anyway. Look at the person next to you. Say, praise God anyway. Thank you for participating. Let me tell you, that's important. Why? Somebody needs to hear that. You've got something going on in your life. Praise God anyway. You've got some difficulty at home. Praise God anyway. You've got some concern, worry, or fear. Praise God anyway. You've got a health problem. Praise God anyway. Here's what we learn. The weapons of utility are our own tools. And I have the tools to fix some of my problems, but I don't have the tools to fix all of my problems. How about you? Listen, do you have the tools to fix your health problems? Probably not. Do you have the tools to fix some financial problems? Maybe not. Do you have the tools to fix a problem with a friend, a spouse, an adult child, a kid, somebody else? Whatever the case may be, we can try to use our own weapons, but the truth is we should start with the weapon of praise. And although this is difficult to be practical with in our lives, your greatest weapons can be summed up in three phrases, and here they are. It's faith in God's plan. It's the wisdom of God's word, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you. Let me say it again. It's faith in God's plan. God told Gideon what to do, and he did it. It's the wisdom of God's word. He listened to what God said, and he did it. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. They walked in the power of God and what God provided. Listen, can I encourage you with the same? That doesn't mean don't be a planner. I'm a planner. I like to plan things. We will be tempted to fix our own problems before we go to God. If I could give you a phrase, it would be this: don't launch into fix-it mode before you launch into faith mode. Start by saying, God, I praise you anyway. Whatever's going on in my life, Lord, you're Lord. You are King no matter what. And I want to seek you in my decision, so I'm asking you to please help me. Pause and take your decisions, just like Gideon did, to Jesus. Pride says, you already know what to do, so get about it and make it happen. But faith says, I know God already has a plan of how this is all supposed to work, and so I want to get about it and see what he's doing. Now, don't hear me say that you should just sit still and never do anything, because that's not what the scripture is saying. That's not what it means. In fact, multiple times in the Bible, it tells us that our sitting in faith and waiting in faith involves some action and walking. Let me give you an example. Exodus 14:14, when Moses has the Israelites coming out of bondage, and he reveals what he believes God is telling him, and he says, the Lord will fight for you. All you have to do is be still. And then one verse later, Exodus 14:15, God says to him, why are you standing still? Move forward. Now, which is right? They're both right. They work together because God tells us to wait on him as we do the things he's called us to do. So we live out the next step of obedience as we wait for God to fix the problem. We live out the next step of obedience and knowledge as we wait for God to do what only God can do. So we take the steps that he's calling us to. That's our plans. But we try to follow his will, what he is doing, and we wait for him. So I want to encourage you with that. I don't know how many of you are facing a battle of some kind, but in a room this size, if you add together the people we had in the first service, the several hundred people together, here's what I would say to you, that a large majority of us have either just finished a battle of some kind, you're in a battle of some kind, or there's one around the corner waiting for you. It may be health, I don't know. It may be job-related, maybe financial. Maybe you've got an adult child that just is not following after the Lord and you are at your wit's end about what to do. Maybe you've got a child at home that's struggling. You're not sure how to help them. Maybe you've got a spouse that just really needs to trust Jesus with their life. Maybe in your own life you're dealing with something else. I don't know what. I don't have to know. But I do know this. It's important that we start with faith mode, not fix-it mode. That we start with the one who has endless resources and not our own, although we may think they're good, they're limited resources. So how do we do that? We draw near to God and his word and his plan. We have faith in his plan that we say, God, even in my fears, anxieties, apprehension, I'm trusting that you're God and I'm not, and you've got a plan. You're going to get glory and you're going to do something that's good in my life. And it's then that we look to the wisdom of God's word, because if you really want to seek God, don't just beg him to tell you something in your mind. Open the word and see what he's already told you. This gives us so many of the ways to live for him. And he will still remind us and prompt us and speak to us through the power of his Holy Spirit. And then lastly, take the next step of obedience. If you will take the next step of obedience, I tell you, God begins to do things. Think about Gideon. How did it work for him? He was hiding in a wine press. An angel shows up and calls him a mighty man of valor. So what does Gideon do? He takes the next step of obedience. He stops and he listens. He makes food. The angel sets the food on fire. Gideon realizes this is an angel of the Lord. He takes the next step of obedience, of worship. Then the angel begins to tell him what to do. Gather your people. Gideon takes the next step. Tear down the Asherah pole. Tear down the false god of Baal, his altar. Gideon takes the next step. He does it in the dark because he's afraid, but he does it anyway. Then the next step, you're going to now defeat the Midianites. And so go from 32,000 down to 10,000. Gideon takes the next step. Go from 10,000 down to 300. Gideon takes the next step. Tell everybody that they're going to hold a torch in one hand and a trumpet in the other and not a sword. Gideon takes the next step. Divide them into three companies of 100. He takes the next step. You lead a company and tell them, watch me, I'll go first. And he takes the next step. He smashes that jar. He holds the torch. He blows his horn. Now, if you're committing to fight the largest army of your enemy you've ever seen, when you smash the torch and light up where you're standing and you start blowing a horn, the commitment is on. And he makes his commitment. And he stands there and says, I take the next step. They follow suit. And the next thing you know, the enemy's defeated. Now, how did all that happen? It didn't happen by someone saying one time, God, I'm going to ask you to defeat the enemy. I'm done. No. It took step after step after step of obedience. Some of us in this room and some participating online, you're wanting God to fix everything about your problem and all the aspects of all that of what's going on in your life. And I'm here to tell you, though God can get you from here to there, there is going to be step after step after step to take. And all the faith you have to have right now is to take the next step. Just take the next step of obedience. Where does that start? Surrender to God. The next step is to say, God, I need you. What's the next step after that? I have no idea. Every one of us is going to be different. But it's going to do with us living the life and walking in obedience to Him and what He's called us to do and what He has us to do. And that's my prayer, is that I will always be willing to take the next step. Now, for some of you, let me remind you that worshiping God and taking that next step in your life will lead to changing your family tree. It will lead you to making a difference to people in your area and your sphere of influence, people you go to school with, people you work with, people you play with, relatives. Here's what I would say to you. For you, the next step might be this. I listed some things. Have that hard conversation. For some of you, that's the next step of obedience. Get rid of that temptation. For some of you in your home, that's the next step of obedience. For some of you, it might be make repentance to God and apologies to people. That's the next step of obedience. For some, it's to chain yourself to the Word of God every day. That's the next step of obedience. For others, it's to put a torch in one hand, a trumpet in the other, and praise God anyway. That's the next step of obedience. Whatever it is for you, would you be willing to do that? Now, I wish I could just tell you what the plan is and what your next 10 steps are going to look like and how it's all going to turn out. I do not have that authority, ability. Truthfully, I don't have that desire. Because in my own life, I have learned that some of the best ways I can grow in the Lord and some of my most intimate times with Him is that journey, one step at a time, waiting for Him to reveal Himself next again. And again, that has been some of the most faith-building times of my life. So if you're wondering why God's left you around this planet, take the next step. Just pray and ask Him. You pray for others. If you're wondering when He's going to change something for someone in your family, take the next step and begin to pray about them, for them, and then share with them as God directs. You're praying about whatever situation's coming up next in your life. I don't know. Would you be willing to live out what He has called you to? Faith in God's plan. Trust the wisdom of His word. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Your family tree can change. You may say, Chris, my family, everybody knows Jesus. We're doing pretty well. Listen, your tree's got roots. It's going to keep growing. You want to pray for God to continue to do that extended work in their lives. You can be the difference maker by the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Would you bow your heads with me? We do this again. I say it every week. It's just a way for you to have a little privacy. There's nothing more holy about your eyes closed or open, but it's just a way to be private before the Lord. Some of you here, things are great in your life, and so you're just not sure how this applies to you. It does. How? Hold that torch in your hand and that trumpet in the other hand. Take the next step of obedience. What's God calling you to next? How can you give Him praise next? Praise God anyway. What's He telling you to do? Who in your family tree needs to see someone take the next step of obedience? The intimate walk with the Lord. For others of us, the next step for you is to give your heart to Jesus. You say, Chris, I don't know that I know Him. So for you, in just a moment, if you're in the room, the next step is just walk right down here. I'll be right down front, and I'd love to pray with you about that. If you're at home participating online, you can just text the word Jesus to 256-322-6100, and then someone's going to contact you to help you know how to give your life to Him. That'll show up on Facebook comments here in a minute anyway. But for others in this room, maybe for you, whatever is going on in your life, you realize that maybe God's already revealed what the next step is for you. So you just want a little courage to do it. And I want to encourage you, whether you do it in the dark or you do it in the light, just do it. But take the next step. Some of you may want to come and kneel and pray for that family member who needs Jesus. You may want to come and kneel and pray for yourself that you can have the courage to walk and the wisdom to be in God's word to take the step. Others of us, we just need to make a renewed commitment to praise God anyway. In the good, in the great, in the sad, in the bad, praise Him anyway. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our faith family. That'd be great. We'd love to have you if you want to come and be a part of God's faith family here, that together we can make a difference for the kingdom. Whatever God is saying to you, you respond. Father God, please have your way among us. Lord, my prayer is that we would listen to your prompting. If your Holy Spirit's leading us at this moment to come and pray or to make a decision, whether it be at our seat, down front, at home, Lord, that then we'll carry that out to completion. Thank you, Father. May we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing the first verse.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.